this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, you guys sound terrific this morning. I love it. Anything just trying to make some noise, I guess, and stay warm, whatever. I was just shocked. We were celebrating Spencer's birthday and shocked when they said, it's snowing outside. No. You're just trying to get me up off the table from playing games. It was snowing and it was beautiful out there, and I love that. Well, today's message was, I didn't know what to call it, so I said, living for God in difficult times. And I said, no, that's not it. Trusting God in difficult times. No, that doesn't hit it either. Eric asked me my message. I said, well, let's just go with this one. But it's really living for God and trusting Him in difficult times. Call it what you want. It's doing those things when we face difficult times, and it's learning how to lean on God, or how to have faith in God, or how to believe in God when we have difficult times. Now, I know I'm the only one struggling with difficult times in this church, so I'm just kidding. Probably all of us have difficult times, and it depends on what we call difficult. Difficult for little Atlas walking back there may be something really small to us. Difficult for us may not be difficult for others. So it depends on where we come from, what our circumstances are, what our life situation is, and it also depends on where we are in our faith walk. Amen? Where are we? So the Old Testament, there were a few guys in there that struggled with some circumstances. And they had to trust in God, or choose to trust in God, or live for God in their difficult times. Moses, he had it pretty easy. No, Moses, he's one. David, what about Joseph? Oh, the brothers sold him off. Went through very difficult times, but trusted in God that whole time. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. What did they say? They said, man, we're going to purpose it in our hearts that we will do this and we will still serve our God. And we will not serve you and your God. Just to name a few in the Old Testament. Now, the New Testament, luckily, nobody there had any difficult situations. Oh, they did. We had a few in the New Testament as well. What about that guy, Joseph and Mary? Little difficult circumstances, maybe. It depends on what you call difficult. Saul, he had it easy. Oh, until that conversion came. And then what happened? Life-changing things happening to him. Then I put down, well, the disciples. Especially at Saul's conversion. Hey, by the way, disciples, this guy's going to hang out with you. That guy that's been killing our friends, dragging them off to prison, beating them, now you're kind of adding him to our group? Lord, I hear you, but are you sure it's that guy? You sure? Let's check the last name, see if they match. But the disciples, even during Saul's conversion, and then the difficult time, greed. Yeah, I'll betray my Savior for a little bit of silver. Let's go more present than the New Testament. Modern day. Modern day people that struggle. I just figured I'd use us all as examples. You, me. Difficult circumstances. Depending on where we are. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. That's where we'll be today. The whole thing. John chapter 11. But I want to tell you today, no matter where we are in our difficult situations, our deepest, our darkest, most difficult times, Jesus loves you and He loves me when we're in there. Lord, if you love me, you wouldn't let me go through that. Well, who told you that? I know this thing did not tell you that. If you love Jesus, and if He loves you, you will never struggle. That's just not so. Man, can we do something real quick? I flew right past that. Dale, would you come up here for just a minute? Austin, come up here. Dale, come up here. We missed you guys last week in our veterans celebration. I hear Atlas calling for his dad. And Austin, he was busy serving last week in the military doing his duty. But I just want to tell you guys, we appreciate your service, and I'm sorry we missed you guys last week. Sorry you were serving last week. Thank you, guys. I'm glad I looked back there and saw you. But we want to take the opportunity to thank you guys. We missed that last week because you were gone. I'm glad I put a big old note on there with an asterisk next to it and then blew right past it. Okay, let's see what else I missed. Oh, yeah, I was supposed... No, that's it. Thank you. Appreciate you, gentlemen. Appreciate your service and those of you that we recognized last week as well. And Austin, your son's calling you. So, no matter where we are, just because we say we love Jesus and He loves us, this doesn't say you're without trials and tribulations and troubles and difficulties. And it doesn't say that the enemy will leave you alone. What's that? That's the enemy. He's knocking constantly at your door, waiting for you to open so he can come in. You close the door, he's waiting, trying to shove his foot in there. And he's going to see sometime if you get tired of pushing him out and closing that door and securing the door where he can't come in. And there's a certain time and place in our lives that he comes in. And we've got to decide, am I tired of fighting him? Am I tired of pushing him back? Well, I just have to do it once a month. Once a month. I do it weekly. Weekly? I have to do it every day. Every day? My goodness, I'm doing it every hour. I'm fighting the enemy. You see, it depends on where we are in that spectrum. Not just in our faith walk, because no matter where we are, we could be fighting him every hour. But if we're not further along, he's winning every hour. So we have to fight him. John chapter 11, and again, we're going to be going through the entire chapter. Why? Well, it's relevant. It's relevant to us living for him in difficult circumstances and trusting him in difficult circumstances. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. That tells us he already knows them. Lord, you love my brother Lazarus, and he is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now let's just stop there for a minute. This sickness, and this is difficult for those that are going through it, that have gone through it. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. God, please don't use me as the example to glorify you. I mean, that's what we say sometimes. Please don't let me be the object of your lesson to glorify you. Okay, I'll use your family member. Oh, Lord, please. Don't use my loved one as an example to glorify you. Man, I want to glorify you, God, but not through me or my family. But he says this is that God may be glorified. And we have to think about those circumstances that we don't like and we don't want to face. God, I know when this is over, you will be glorified through it if I am obedient to you. You will be glorified through my obedience to you, God, and your will. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. I hear there's a problem. Let me just hang out where I'm at for 2 more days. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea now." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again?" Then Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone, listen carefully to this, if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Well, great, that's great for walking, but if we don't have the light in our life, we're going to stumble also because we walk in darkness. And we have to walk in his light so we do not stumble. These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. So then Jesus had to explain himself further. "Guys, I'm not talking about a nap." He said, "Lazarus is dead." Just point blank, he's dead. But he says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." I'll get back to that one in just a minute. So when Jesus had came, in verse 17, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now remember, Jesus hung out 2 extra days where he was. Now he's making the journey. He had been in there for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." What I love about God's word, by the way, is I've done messages over this, but it was different aspects of this. What we'll look at today is just persevering through our difficult times. And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, I'm sure Jesus is thinking to himself, "Oh, they never understand what I say the first time. I've got to explain it again, so let me go through this." And then he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Listen again. "I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Not he might live, he shall live. "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" he asked her. And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." When she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, they were comforting her. When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her were weeping also, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Now, church, this is where, when we are sitting there and we are weeping, or our spirit is weeping and we're crying, and we think, "God, where are you?" They said to him, "Lord, come see." John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. When you are weeping, when you are sitting there in your difficult situations, Jesus is there with you. And he's weeping with you. And he knows your struggle, and he knows your suffering, and he knows your hurt and your heartache, and he knows those things. He's a loving God. He's a compassionate God. Because he wept with them. She was weeping. Those around her were weeping. And Jesus, because of his compassion, he wept with them. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." He loves each one of us as well. And he weeps with us as well. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now Jesus has the opportunity here. But he doesn't just do it on his own. He talks to his Father. He says, "Father, because of these people out here, that's why I said it, so that they may believe in you. God, this isn't about me." Even Jesus is saying, "God, this is to glorify you. And God, I know you always hear me." And it's important that we know he always hears us. And when Jesus said this, Jesus knows God can do what he wants. You see, it's God's will, not his will. When Jesus was in the garden, what did he say? "Lord, if you can let this cup pass, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And it's the same thing here. "Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me." And can you let this happen so that these people that are outside there will believe in you, God? Not that they believe in me and my power, God, but they believe in you. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to the people, "Loose him and let him go." Now listen to this. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen these things Jesus did, believed in him. "Father, I said these so that they may believe in you." Many who saw this believed in him because of it. But then there's these folks. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone, this man to do his works, everyone will believe in him." Boy, they miss that big time. If we leave him alone, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. You see, we're prideful people. We want to hang on to those things. If I believe, I may have to choose some life-changing things. Mary and Martha thought Jesus' presence meant life for their brother. Thomas, in verse 16, as I mentioned earlier, he believed Jesus was going to die. But listen to this. In his loyalty to Jesus, he said, "Let us go also that we may die with him." God, I don't know what you're saying. It sounds like you're going to die, but I'm loyal to you. I'm going with you. Come on, guys, let's all go die with Jesus. He was loyal. He missed what he was doing, but he was loyal to him. Difficult times for all of them. If you were here, my brother would not have died. It's a difficult time for Mary and Martha. Thomas, it's a difficult time for him. "I'm going away." "Where are you going?" "I'm going to die with Jesus." Appreciate the loyalty, but that's not where you're headed. And then, when she was weeping, Jesus' response to that. Jesus wept. He sat with them and he wept. He was there with them, and he's here with you and I to weep with us in our times of difficulty. You know, Gina Gall's mother passed away this past week on her 86th birthday. And was able to see her newest granddaughter before she passed as well. And I did her service yesterday, and I quoted some of these verses. Verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And I say that at different services to ask or to tell, hey, they believed, but do you and I, do we believe? Do we believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that though we may die, we shall live? And do we believe that those that if we believe in him, we will never die? She's having quite a reunion with family members that have gone on before her. And she's waiting for others to join her. We had the opportunity during the service to talk to people about that, because that was one of her desires. "Hey, I don't want an altar call at my service, but man, I certainly want you to mention Jesus and the opportunity for them to know him, or get to know him again, come back to him, or grow in their relationship with him." And I simply ask the family, do you believe? Now, verse 45, in difficult times, many saw these things and believed. That's great. Hopefully we'd be with them. We see these works and these miracles, and we believe in him. But then there's that group, the chief priests, the Pharisees. I'm sure the scribes were somewhere nearby. They were concerned about losing everything. And sometimes we're no different. I've got difficult times, man. I want to hang on to everything I've got. I don't want to lose that house I'm in. I don't want to lose that job I have. I don't want to lose that title, that status, that position. I don't want to lose those things. gives me power and security when I have those things. And to take those things from me, ooh, I don't know. If you take my income, my car, my stuff, I don't know, God, that just means things are worse than I thought they were. These things prevent or at least hinder us from simply believing. When we're successful and we have things going right for us, we tend to kind of veer off on our own a little bit. We don't give God the credit. But boy, when we're struggling, we want to look at God and go, what are you doing here, God? I'm struggling here. What are you struggling with? Are you spending on things you shouldn't be? Are you going places you shouldn't? Are you living places you shouldn't live? Are you driving things you shouldn't be driving? What is the struggle here? I mean, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to talk about difficulties and blaming God. Is it really God or is it your decisions? So we have decisions to make to simply believe. And then we've got to follow His will. Oh, dang it. Okay, now you're talking about submission, Adam. Well, yeah. He asked for our submission. When we turn our lives over to Him, He's asking us to submit to Him. Submit our lives and give it to Him. So it's in His hands. You know, I said earlier, I appreciate you guys being here. Consistency causes change. Your consistency in being here will cause change. Not intensity. You can have consistency with intensity, but don't think intensity is going to bring about change. Man, I had this earth-shaking, earth-moving prayer thing. I have it once a year. Man, it is intense. What about the rest of the year? Oh, I hit it all at that time, but I am intense about it. God says, man, I'd rather talk to you every day. Maybe we can work on those little things that turn into big things by the end of the year when you do it once a year. Consistency causes change in our life, not intensity. And God asks for us to be consistent with Him. Man, can we talk to Him every day? Can we study Him every day? Can we learn about Him? Can we take the same story and look at it from different angles and grow through those different ways? Flip back in your Bibles to John chapter 10. Go back a page or two. One of my favorite scriptures, John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Remember, I talked about him knocking on the door, trying to put his foot in there. But he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He says, don't forget to put a little peephole in that door so when I'm knocking, you can open the door for me. Because the enemy's knocking. We just open the door and let him in and don't look and see who it is. Jesus is knocking. We're like, oh, forget that. The enemy's coming too many times. I'm not opening for anybody anymore. Oh, now all of a sudden we've lost our trust and our faith and our belief. And Jesus is knocking. Jesus is knocking on that door. He says, man, I'm the good shepherd. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he wants us to have that more abundant life. John chapter 10, skip on a little bit to verse 25 through 30. And it says this, you know, if you go a few verses before, verse 24 says, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? And I could just picture them scratching their heads going, who are you, man? How long are we going to have to question this? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Let us know. And Jesus responded in verse 25. He said, I told you and you do not believe. Your parents ever tell you something you didn't believe until you became a parent and until you became older and understood? And you're like, oh, they were right. Yep, raising kids is tough. You know, I told you, but you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Ooh, that's tough. Verse 27. Listen carefully. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And I thought, I love this. He tells us very plainly. He tells them, you're not my sheep. But he says, my sheep hear my voice. Church, we hear his voice. He says, I know them. He knows you. That's why when you're weeping, he'll sit with you and he'll weep with you. Because he's compassionate and caring and loving. And my sheep will follow me. We have to learn to follow Jesus when he's calling us. Through faith, through trusting him, living for him. Even in the difficult times, he still is calling us. And he's calling us to respond. You know, as God is a loving and compassionate God, I think he revealed himself to my wife and I stronger than ever over the last couple of years with two grandchildren. We have three, but I mean with Atlas and Michaela and Austin and Aurora. And I thought, man, there's a good chance to reveal where our heart is. And I thought, what a blessing those two little rascals are to us. Not you, Michaela and Austin. I mean the other two rascals. Atlas and Aurora. And we love them. And they're beautiful and wonderful children. And I thought, you know, Jesus went to the cross. For what? And for who? Well, he went for me. And he went for each one of you. And I thought, man, my Father loved me in my sin. Well, should I be any different to not love my son in his sin? And I thought, man, it took a little while. Trust me, it took a little while for me to get that. But I thought, man, he died on the cross and says, yet while you were still sinners, he died for us. Why would we be any different than to love people who also are sinners? And we don't desire for them to stay there, and God doesn't desire for me to stay where I was or where I am. He desires for me to get closer and closer to his likeness and his aroma every day. And he's asking the same of you and me, that we become more like him every day, that we grow. Dwayne, the test he used to take, and I'd remind him, Dwayne, you're saying whether you passed or failed a test. Remember before you said you didn't even know there was a test. And I love that example that we got to sit and talk about and remind him, you're saying you failed a test. You said before you didn't even know there was a test. It was just, whoop, here we go. But now you understand there's a test and an opportunity to grow. And we all have that. When we face our family, our loved ones, our church family, our co-workers, our extended family, strangers, Oh, we have such opportunity. God's Word says love covers a multitude of sins. You know, I'm thankful for my brother Eric, who was able to remind me of that sometimes a few times when I needed it. Love covers a multitude of sins. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. In Him is the power to change our life, our circumstances, our difficulties. But He does that according to the measure of our faith also. We may have opportunity to grow. Has Lazarus stayed dead, Jesus still would have loved Mary and Martha the same. One final scripture here as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 through 10. And I want you to listen to this one more guy that struggled through difficulty. Said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But listen to how Jesus responded to him. And sometimes this is His answer to us. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Jesus took one of His own. And when He's pleading for Him, Lord, please remove this thorn. He said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. I know what we'd all be thinking when He tells us that. My grace is sufficient for you. Go ahead and go on through it. I'm sorry, Lord, you have the power to pull me out of this. And your response to me is, your grace is sufficient for me? He said, I'd rather go through this. So know that, again, even if Jesus had allowed Lazarus to die, He still loved him. When you are going through your things and Jesus is sitting there weeping with you, and you're going, but come on, you can change this. His grace sufficient for you. We have to learn how to trust Him in our difficulties and how to live for Him in our difficulties. And persevere and press on. We're going to sing the goodness of God again. Because it's just such a powerful song to me. Stand and worship with us. I'm going to pray before we sing real quick, but stand with us. Heavenly Father, I just ask You today to be with us as we take this lesson out of John 11 and learn how to press on through our difficulties, how to live for You through our difficulties, how to trust You in our difficulties. And pray today that we are strengthened by that knowledge and by the Word today. Lord, I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.